Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Today's guest is San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea, our regular guest. Before we talk to John, though, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. And John Shea joins us just back from Los Angeles, where the Giants won 2 out of 3 in L.A. against the Dodgers. Next up, the Padres. It's strange, John, the Giants have played so well against the Dodgers, but the rest of the division, they're not playing so well against the teams that aren't even as good, and they're not playing well at home. So maybe they're really focused on this homestand to try to get things going. What do you think?
Well, two things they really need to improve on. Playing better against teams not named the Dodgers in the West, because they do beat the Dodgers, and playing at home. They're 9-17 against the Rockies and the Padres and the Diamondbacks, and they're sub .500 at home. And home is where they used to dominate, and home is where they used to do some of their best work, especially on the pitching front. And they got just enough hitting, but now they're not getting any hitting. And that 9-game losing streak at home was historic, they finally won their last game at home in the last homestand, but now it's a pretty important series. I asked Bochy about it the other day in Los Angeles, and he agreed. I mean, those two deficiencies are two things they really need to come up to par with if they're going to make a run at this thing, because you just don't win divisions if you don't win at home. I mean, you got to win at home. They've got, pretty darn near the best road record in the majors, if not just the National League at least, and after winning losing that ugly game at Dodger Stadium, but it's just so important to figure out how to win in front of the home fans.
Yeah, it's really hard to figure it out. I mean, why they're not winning at home. But one thing you could point to as far as maybe a little bit of offense deficiency would be the fact that Hunter Pence isn't in the lineup. However, players downplay that. I mean, on the last homestand, I interviewed Angel Pagan, and he really downplayed that a lot, saying, they've been through that before. They've had players go out. Other players have to step in. And one guy who has stepped in is Matt Duffy. You wrote a story about him that's in today's San Francisco Chronicle. Matt Duffy has been terrific, and I don't think he's a surprise any longer, but you still have to look at it and go, wait a minute, this guy last year at this time, he was in AA. He was hitting really well. He was hoping to get a promotion to AAA, and here he is. I mean, really the guy that you count on in clutch situations. Bruce Bochy counting on him that much, how much of a luxury is that to find somebody like that when you didn't really plan on it?
It's a great story. They were hoping Casey McGee would be that guy, and he wasn't, and they got rid of him, and now he's back in the reserve role for how long, I don't know. But Matt Duffy, it makes people forget about Pablo Sandoval and Casey McGee. He has more RBIs, better average, doing much better than Sandoval, who's making $95 million over 5 years.
Right.
Duffy darn near the major league minimum. He was hoping to be in AAA right now. I mean, that's where he was a year ago. He's just hoping to go level by level. He wasn't the best prospect in the organization. He was an 18th round draft pick and as a shortstop. So he's way down in the depth chart behind Brandon Crawford. So he tells a funny story about how in late July he was a shortstop all year in AA at Richmond, and suddenly he's playing second base for 3 games, and then suddenly he's playing third base for 3 games. And he was thinking he was being showcased to be traded. Well, what team am I going to play for who wants a utility guy? And he was hearing reports that once he did get traded to whoever team he got traded to, he would go right to the big leagues. And he said, well, that was kind of exciting, but he didn't believe it. Those were rumors. And then next thing you know, he gets called up by the Giants, and he's a pivotal part of the championship run, coming off the bench and pinch running and doing all kinds of things that he never imagined. and he's valuable as a clutch hitter. And this year he really evolved. He made the team out of spring training as a backup, and now he's the third baseman. He hit fifth last week. He hit third Sunday. And Bochy said might not be the last time he hits third. I mean, his numbers with runners in scoring position are fantastic. It's, you know, 352, and then with two outs in those scenarios, it's 387. Bases loaded, it's 625. Two outs, bases loaded, it's 500. You go up and down those high leverage number stats, and across the board, he's doing well. You know, granted, on Sunday when he did hit third, he hit into a double play in a key situation. But overall, he's had a tremendous year, and it's a great story. And yet one more homegrown infielder. They don't get the homegrown outfielders, but they seem to get plenty across the diamond homegrown infielders.
They do. And those numbers, I think they're so valuable. I mean, some people might not look at those. There's so many other statistics in baseball, but the runners in scoring position statistics, I would think that managers like Bruce Bochy value that a lot. I mean, I don't know how you even judge players, how they're getting that done. But as Duffy said to you in the story, he's not looking at those situations any differently. You know, maybe he's actually thriving in that situation because he's concentrating even more, and he's getting hits against pitchers like Clayton Kershaw and Felix Hernandez, as you pointed out in the story, because, I mean, he just doesn't worry about it.
4-for-12 off Kershaw, 2-for-3 off Hernandez, and he just goes to the plate thinking, well, they're pretty good, but so am I. And, you know, his key, and he keeps talking it over and over, is don't swing at stuff out of the strike zone. And, you know, don't beat yourself at the plate. In other words, you know, don't give anything, no favors to the pitcher. And, the mentality has worked. And he said that it kind of started off, he went to Long Beach State as a sophomore. That was the first time he played every day in college. And he was a three-hitter. And guys seemed to be on base all the time. And that's the first time he started believing in himself as a run producer and in clutch situations, and it kind of carried over. You know, he's an 18th round pick, but he hit well enough to advance pretty quickly through the ranks, and he's carried that over into the big leagues, and surprisingly so. I mean, granted, we're not even midway through, one full season for him, and this is relatively small sample size, but it's pretty good so far.
We'll have more with San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea right after this. Today's interview is being sponsored by Toscolito Tire and Automotive. You have to admit, collecting World Series titles is a new trend for the Giants, but at Toscolito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscolito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family, and they offer a nationwide guarantee backed by the strength of the Goodyear Tire and Service Network. And unlike watching close Giants games, going to Toscolito equals a stress-free life. No torture at Toscolito Tire and Automotive with 4 Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo. Toscolito, more than just a tire store. Let's talk about the rotation. It's certainly at the top of the agenda for the San Francisco Giants, and not only manager Bruce Bochy, but the brass. I mean, they're talking about, what are we going to do here? It's a good problem to have when you have all these pitchers, but Jake Peavy looks like he's ready to come back from his rehab assignment. Pitched well for Triple-A Sacramento on Monday. Matt Cain has one more to go. By the way, I'll give a plug. I'm going to be on Comcast Hometown Network with Doug Greenwald. We are covering the Fresno Grizzlies Sacramento River Cats series this week. And Thursday, Cain would be scheduled to go, as far as I know. So that's on Comcast 104 for folks that want to check that out. But if you have Cain and Peavy coming back, that means there are two slots that have to be opened up. And you and I have talked about it before, right before the Chris Heston no-hitter. We thought maybe, he's got options left. But I don't know that you take him out after that. And also his overall performance. Ryan Vogelsong at times has really been awful, but then he just rebounded. Tim Lincecum started out great. Now he's not pitching well for about 6 or 7 starts, including the last one on Sunday, which was pretty much a disaster, his shortest outing. You know, Tim Hudson's older, maybe banged up, as Bruce Bochy says. There's so many factors here, John, to think about.
It is really amazing, and fans love this story. I get emails and tweets all the time, what are they going to do, what are they going to do? Well, the one thing they're not going to do do anything with Madison Bumgarner. He's the only sure thing in the rotation right now, the postseason king, you know, the best they have. So now you have four guys who are candidates to be replaced, and maybe it's not surprising that any of them might be replaced. I mean, you have Lincecum and Vogelsong, who could go to the bullpen. You have Hudson, who could go on the disabled list. Or Chris Heston, like you said, he could be optioned to Sacramento. He's the only guy who could be optioned. But who wants to see that? I mean, nobody. You know, he's their best starter behind Bumgarner. He has the no-hitter. He has a bunch of wins. Maybe they send him down for 10 days or so, but I doubt it. You know, so in terms of Hudson, yeah, he's 39, going to be 40 soon here. And the Giants can conveniently, you know, find something wrong with him, put him on the DL, arm or elbow. At this point, at that age, you could always find something to give him a rest for, a little break. But then you have Vogelsong, you have Lincecum, the only two guys with experience in the bullpen. I mean, Lincecum was great in that role in 2012. That's when he threw a lot harder, though, coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
Now he tries to dazzle you a little bit more. And as a starter, he was great through mid-May, a 2-something, just a 2 ERA, I think it was, round number. And Vogelsong was great in May, a 1-something ERA. Had some bad starts to begin June, but is coming off a real good game in Seattle. You know, my guess, you know, they find someone to put on the DL. And then they add Peavy. His rehab start is maxed out. Bochy said he would definitely go to the rotation. He wouldn't go to the bullpen. I mean, there could be a trade, but that seems, you know, it seems the easiest thing to do right now to hold on to everybody is to put someone on the DL. And then the story rewinds when Matt Cain is activated. But for now, you know, Cain is probably going to make that one more rehab start that you're going to call down there. But I imagine maybe Hudson gets a little break. He's the oldest guy. But it's, I mean, someone's either going to have to go to the bullpen, Lincecum or Vogelsong, and you would think it would be Vogelsong. I mean, maybe they, I mean, that's what he signed up for in the offseason, to be the sixth starter and swingman. Lincecum, I mean, in the last six starts, he has a 7 ERA. So maybe they find something wrong with him, put him on the DL and figure out his mechanics and maybe get his dad involved because his dad was so important in the offseason to get him ready for this season. And Lincecum had a nice spring and a real nice start.
Well, I think it's hard no matter how you slice it. And I hate to look at the glass being, you know, half empty here. But if Ryan Vogelsong is told that, you know, you're the swing man, I remember I talked to him at the media day at AT&T Park before spring training, and he hated that term. And he wondered how he was going to do in this role, because even though he's been in the bullpen a little bit before, it's been a while, he's really been a rotation guy. And Tim Lincecum, I mean, he may on the outside not say much about it and be a good soldier, but at the same time, you know, everybody has an ego. He's won 2 Cy Young Awards. And for him, after the start that he had to this season, to go into the bullpen, I don't know. I mean, is that where you iron things out? He has to admit he hasn't pitched well lately.
And you don't really iron things out in the bullpen, I don't think. These are two lifetime starters, and
yeah,
they pride themselves starting a game every fifth day. We asked Lincecum after Sunday's start, and he only lasted an inning and a third, his shortest start of his 9-year career, what gives? And he said, obviously, he had plenty of time to see video, because, you know, 8 innings worth almost, and, you know, he noted some things, and you know, his fastball command wasn't there. He was throwing curveballs too high, breaking pitches, and just didn't have it. You know, in the second inning, he retired one guy, and that was the pitcher who bunted into a sacrifice out. So it was pretty ugly. But so after the game, you ask him, listen, you were a team guy in 2012 when you went to the bullpen, and even last year when you were demoted to the bullpen, you have history. And then he interrupts and says, you know what, I want to be a starter. That's all good and everything, but I want to prove to them that I can be a starter. And he hasn't of late, but that's his mindset. And same with Vogelsong. I mean, no one has more of a game face in the 48 hours before a start than Ryan Vogelsong, who doesn't talk to anybody. I don't even know if he talks to his family. But you just leave him alone. He's so wound up and so geared up for that start. And he was fantastic in May, very good in his last start. He had some bad starts to begin this month. But then you put him in the bullpen, and you don't know when he's going to pitch, and who knows what his mindset is, and he wasn't great in that role to begin the season. Long relief, I mean, you know, that's not a real intriguing title. So it's, yeah, it would be a huge demotion for either of those guys, but that's, you know, that might happen, especially when Kane comes back.
Yeah, the thing that's unique about it is you have all of these pitchers, and like you said, other than Bumgarner, none of these guys are immune to what's been going on here as far as auditioning. I mean, they've got great resumes, but I was thinking the last, you know, few weeks here, knowing that Peavy and Kane are on the way back, each guy, when they're out there, it's almost like an audition. And Vogelsong's last audition was really good, and Lincecum's was not really good. But it's, you know, it's almost like, what have you done for me lately, to the extreme, where you usually don't see that with accomplished pitchers like the Giants have.
Exactly. And Bochy even mentioned a competition is good, and that's what this has been. And if it's a competition, Lincecum didn't help himself. And another factor here is the bullpen. I mean, other than Bumgarner, who's gone eight innings his last two starts, lost both games, gave up three runs, you know, nice offense, right? The bullpen is pretty maxed out. I mean, this is other than Bumgarner, this is a five-inning rotation, and with Lincecum, it was a lot more than that on Sunday for the bullpen. But the bullpen works every night, and works every night quite a bit, and they have some super numbers keeping inherited runners on base. You know, from Contos to Lopez to Apfelt, all those guys are doing great, keeping guys on base when they come in, inheriting runners. But it's kind of overkill. I mean, they're working a lot. They're up there in appearances. I think the other day, Romo got up two or three times and didn't get in the game. And so it's not just appearances and pitches. It's getting up in the bullpen and not being called because there's so many innings that are needed. Who are we going to use? And the game changes with the score, and then now we go with you instead of you. And something's got to change here. That's why when you talk about a six-man rotation, well, that sounds good, but don't you want Bumgarner pitching more than once every 6 or 7 days? I mean, with days off, they do have days off here in the next couple of weeks, almost every, you know, one a week here. Now you're pitching one every 7 days. And so Bumgarner is almost lost in the shuffle. You want him pitching as much as you can get him out there. So the six-man rotation, that, you know, that's one reason you don't want that. And another reason is the six-man rotation, you usually do it because starters are overworked. Well, this rotation is not overworked.
We continue the conversation with John Shea of the San Francisco Chronicle after this. Giants fans are settling for nothing but the best these days, so if you're in the market for buying or selling real estate in San Francisco, you'll want the A-1 real estate agent. Well, at McGuire Real Estate, the top producer is Robert Merriman, and I encourage you to give him a call at 415-351-4698 or check him out at robertmerriman.com. Robert Merriman is opening doors for buyers and sellers in the city, and his excellent service is never discounted. Whether you're a buyer or seller in San Francisco, you need a creative negotiator on your team. Robert Merriman at McGuire Real Estate is the man for the job. Contact Robert at 415-351-4698. That's 415-351-4698. Or robertmerriman.com. Now, earlier you mentioned the Panda, Pablo Sandoval, and his batting average, his production being not as good as Matt Duffy, which nobody would have figured that out with the salary that the Panda has. And he recently was in the news for the wrong reason. Social media, Instagram, using Instagram during a game. He got benched for it, and he was actually, checking off, you know, who was the good-looking woman on Instagram while he was in the bathroom in the clubhouse, from what I understand. And, yeah, I understand using social media, but now players, they have to learn from this one, don't they?
Yeah, and maybe it's not as serious as, you know, what Jose Canseco used to do in the bathroom stalls at the Coliseum, right?
Right.
you know, but Pablo's sitting there, and he's pressing the button because he likes the image of a woman. You can go anywhere with that story, but in this case, you know, the Red Sox are saying, really? I mean, that's your commitment? You know, you're going on Instagram in the seventh inning. He was benched the next day. You know, MLB is looking into it because he broke a rule, an MLB rule, which clearly states, and this is up on every clubhouse wall right next to don't gamble on baseball and don't do steroids, is don't use your phone 30 minutes before the first pitch all the way until the last pitch. Well, he broke that rule, and I spoke with Jeremy Affeldt and Hunter Pence, two big guys on Twitter, two big guys on social media who relate to the fans, and you know, for different reasons. Affeldt, you know, he supports and pushes his cause and you know, his leadership, his motivation, you know, everything he does on the side, charitable, et cetera, his blog. And then Pence is sort of, you know, like Romo, he kind of humanizes himself through Twitter, relates to the fans, talks to the fans, you know, makes funny comments to the fans, things like that. He kind of reaches out. So those are two guys who are well-versed on Twitter. And basically both of them said, you know, dude, you gotta chill. You gotta follow the rules. You gotta use some common sense. Be careful. And it's a situation. I mean, that's modern technology. Just in the last week alone, and I addressed this in my Sunday piece, you had the story of the Cardinals hacking the Astros,
right?
The player database. You had all these hundreds of millions of votes canceled by Major League Baseball, and fearing fraud. You know, and all, it seems every Royal is going to start in the All-Star game. So you kind of got to step back. I mean, Major League Baseball is trying to figure it out, as we all are with modern technology.
Yeah, that whole thing with the Royals, I mean, just a few years ago, it was the Giants who had just about everybody starting. I don't know. I mean, whoever's better, I guess, at getting on their computer and doing the voting right now, it's definitely a system that's flawed.
Well, it's the first year they're not using paper votes at all, paper ballots. They used to hand out at the ballpark or at sponsors, places, or whatever. They don't do that anymore. It's all online. And you can vote as pretty much as many times as you want. You could keep creating new accounts, and it's kind of ridiculous, really. I mean, that you can vote that many times every day. And, I mean, when you know, the leading vote-getter gets whatever he gets, you know, 50 million, 100 million, I don't know what, it's not really that. It's not one guy per vote. And it's just, you know, who wants to do this the most? Yeah, you're right. When the Giants did it, the old, you know, Silicon Valley got involved, and nobody knows computers like we do, right? So,
right.
You know, the Giants benefit. Well, somehow Kansas City got a hold of this computer outrage, and they're all going nuts over it. So, you know, they're getting on it every day, and because of that, Nori Aoki is getting a whole bunch of votes, you know, because, hey, he's a former Royal. That's my thinking anyway. He's getting some love in Japan. But, you know, for him to be third among National League outfielders and Stanton fourth, I mean, that kind of tells you something about the goofiness of the system.
Yeah, right now that's just something that it's got to be fixed, you would think. Here's another one that's out there that I'm not sure what you do about it, but Zach Hample, and up until Friday night, nobody knew who Zach Hample was, but maybe some people did, but now a lot of people do, because he caught A-Rod's 3,000th hit, which was a home run off Justin Verlander on Friday. And we've seen this before, John. We've seen this movie before, where a fan catches the ball and he doesn't want to give it back to the player right away. And, you know, he's going to hold out for something great. And it's subjective, I think, as far as your opinion to say, well, what's the right thing to do? What should you do? What do you have to do? You know, you don't really have to do anything, because Major League Baseball is saying you catch a baseball. I mean, basically, that's yours. But, you know, we've seen it before. I remember when Wade Boggs hit his 3,000th hit, was a home run, and the guy who caught it was the SID at Siena College, where I used to work, and he's a really nice guy, and he just gave it to Boggs, and Boggs, you know, signed a jersey, and that was that. I mean, there was no negotiation. Well, this guy, Zach Hample, he's pretty much a professional catcher of baseballs across the major leagues. He's caught over 8,000 balls in 51 stadiums. He's even written a book about it. So what do you think about him saying that, you know, he's going to hold out here? He's not giving the ball to A-Rod. I'm not sure exactly what he's looking for.
It's a great contrast, Jeter and A-Rod, just one more. I mean, the guy who got Jeter's 3,000th, the home run, here you go. Okay, give this guy some tickets, give him some, you know, some bats and balls, whatever. And then the guy who catches A-Rod's balls, it's mine. Yeah, I'm a bully. I'm knocking kids over. This is mine, baby. I'm doing anything I can to get it, and I'm selling it. I mean, that's just Jeter versus A-Rod. It's so typical. But, hey, you know what? These fans can do whatever they want. I mean, who knocks McCovey Cove Dave, right? Is that his name? The guy who's out there? He's gotten
fishing for the balls, right.
Of balls. And, you know, it's me against you. It's a wrestling match. And, you know, who can forget those two fans who fought over and then fought in court later over the Bonds record ball?
Kobayashi?
I mean, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, but still, you know, and then you pay more in court fees than you do once you sell the ball. So it's kind of crazy, but it's free enterprise, free market. They can do whatever they want. It's theirs once it's in their possession. I mean, he doesn't have to give it back to A-Rod. There are plenty of people who caught the ball, you know, different balls, and maybe kept it or negotiated a little bit more, a little bit longer. This guy's a professional ball snagger, or if that's his title, I don't know, but it's just what he does, and he's kind of getting condemned, you know, on talk shows, etc. But why? I mean, it's his ball. He doesn't have to give it back to A-Rod.
No, he doesn't. So, I mean, he's definitely looking to make some money out of this, I guess. As we finish up, Darrell Hamilton, what a sad story. I mean, a guy who's only 50 years old, and not only a really good baseball player, but a real gentleman. You know, everybody around baseball liked him. And he played for the Giants back in 97, 98, helped them to win the division title in 97. It was an important year for the Giants turning things around. What did you like about Darrell Hamilton as you got to know him?
I liked a lot about him. I mean, let's go first back to 1986. I mean, this was the Giants were just awful, the worst team in the division, and the only storyline was Barry Bonds and going after 40-40. And if I remember right, he went into September needing 15 to get to 40, 15 steals, and he got it. So basically it was Barry and a whole bunch of AAA guys in a lost season. And I remember that last series in Denver, I think he got the 40 to steal on the Friday night and then slept in the middle of the clubhouse on this leather couch all weekend. I mean, that's how exhausted he was in that chase. But what did it mean? I mean, the Giants were just awful. So in that offseason, Brian Sabian, first year as GM, and he rebuilds the team. He brings, you know, Jeff Kent in, Vizcaino, the shortstop, in that big Matt Williams trade to Cleveland.
Right.
JT Snow, who had his best year in 97, I think, 100 RBIs, almost 30 home runs. Brian Johnson, he acquired later. Stan Javier. These are good people, good baseball guys. And maybe the acquisition that got the least amount of pub was Darrell Hamilton. I mean, you know, he didn't get the contract he was hoping to, so he got less to come with the Giants. And, you know, Sabian, you know, picked up some guys in July from the White Sox, Wilson Alvarez, a couple other pitchers, and they raced to the division flag. And yet when I look back at that team, Hamilton is always the first guy I think about. I mean, he was a great guy and made that clubhouse a great clubhouse, kept it loose, you know, go-to guy for the media, a friend of teammates, veterans, a leader among, you know, the younger guys. And this was a year removed from just awfulness. And I kept in contact with him over the years. You see him at ballparks. You contact him for interviews. Chatted with him, you know, during an MLB Network gig I had. And this is just all tragic news. You know, he's done a lot in the game. You know, he played. He worked in the commissioner's office. He did the broadcasting thing. And I think if he really wanted it and pursued it, I think he could have been a manager or even general manager. He was a great people person. Great baseball man, and at 50, it's just horrible the way his life ended here.
Yeah, really sad, and he was definitely a good Giant in that short stint that he had, and he was the first batter ever in interleague play, which is something that he was always you know, remembered for.
And he's also remembered for making the final catch of the game and throwing the ball into the crowd when the Hall of Fame was there and said, oh, that's going to be a great keepsake. Oh, he threw it into the crowd. And maybe Zach has that ball right now, and he's auctioning it off.
I'm waiting for the fan who catches some historic ball and then throws it back on the field, you know, Wrigley Field style. Maybe that'll happen. You
not
know,
knowing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It probably happened a few times, but they probably threw backup balls that they had in their pockets just for the heck of it.
Right, exactly. John, thanks so much for the time today. Look forward to seeing you at the ballpark later on in this homestand.
As always, I enjoyed it, Joe. Hey, thanks a lot.
That's our regular guest, John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle. Join us again middle of the week. We'll be in Fresno as the Grizzlies are hosting the Giants AAA affiliate, the Sacramento Rivercats, and we'll have a guest from Fresno. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.